So this is the last opportunity, the last year we have before Yom Kippur, the Torah, before Chag HaShavuos. And today I am taking the liberty the shiur today is not going to be on the weekly parsha. Neither would it be directly related to Chag HaShavuos. But I think the days approaching Yom Kippur HaSadoid are days in which each and every one of us should renew his dedication to Torah law and to Torah values. And last week I spent one day in France, in Toulouse, and I gave some shiurim there at the Conference of European Rabbonim that come together, the biannual conference once in 2 years, and I was asked to speak about the kosher switch, a very well-known and spoken about controversy in America. And so I gave a shiur, which was very widely heard. And some people said they think it's important that I say the shiur in English as well. So I am taking the opportunity today to discuss this topic. And I emphasize, before we start speaking about this, that what I have to say today is not only related to the kosher switch per se, but from the lumdisha point of view, from the halachic point of view, and from the ashkenazika point of view, we will be discussing technology and Shabbos in the broader sense, and what type of a Shabbos do we wish to observe in our homes. So starting off, let me just describe very briefly what this controversy is all about. So people devised a gadget, a system in which the person turns on a switch as he would every other day of the year, but he doesn't get electricity immediately. It'll take a few seconds or maybe more or less till he gets electricity. And internally, the system is constructed, is built in a way that there is a mashder and a maklet. Could somebody help me out with the English? A mashder and a maklet. There's the maklet is the receiver. No. Maybe transmitter and receiver. I'm not sure we have the words right, but I hope we'll have the idea right. And there's a certain electrical pulse that is at random. The idea is random. It's not at a predestined interval. It's random. And it's just a piece of plastic that doesn't enable the pulse to go from the transmitter to the receptor or the receiver. And when you push that switch, you just move away the plastic machitza, and then at some stage, which is at random, the pulse will reach its destination and the electrical circuit will be closed. So the argument is that sometimes we could devise a gadget that wouldn't even fit into the category of grumma, and that would be defined as a heter. And because I think this entire concept is a mistake, and in my opinion, besides the hashkafa aspect, which we will deal with at the second part of today's shiur, I think that we're mamish dealing with a suffix dioraisa by a pure halachic definition, and therefore in no way would I say this would be acceptable.
Is this switching on? Switching on?
Switching on. Switching on and switching off. What goes up must come down, as they say. So, for the past few decades, I would say somewhere about 20, 30 years, different organizations have been toying with different concepts of grumma devices. Grumma devices that are based on grumma, koyach sheni, hasora samoineya, menia samoineya. But in my opinion, there is a very basic misunderstanding at the root of this entire endeavor. People think there is a concept of grumma and there is something that is less than grumma. Nothing is less than grumma. Because grumma is zero and there's nothing less than zero. Grumma is never a positive concept. It is always in the negative context. And in the entire Shas, and in the entire spectrum of halacha, a person is potur and grama. Whether it's nezikin, grama ben nezikin potur, whether it's Shabbos, gram kibui mutar. Grama is never found in a positive context. Nowhere in Shas is a grama chayiv. Grama is defined as any case, any way, any circumstance in which a person does something, does a maisa, and an indirect way, in a way that to which he bears no responsibility or liability, he causes an outcome, he causes an effect. He is not responsible. He bears no liability because that is grama. And nothing is less than grama. The only thing that's less than grama would be Sheval Taisa, would be totally refraining from doing anything. Or if you do an act, if you do a maisa, and the maisa is not related in any way, it doesn't cause an effect, so that is less than grama. But in any way that you do something which causes an effect in an indirect fashion, and it matters not what type of indirect fashion, is defined as groma. And groma is never higher. Groma has nothing to do with psikresha. Psikresha has to do with dover mischaven. The contrary, the contra to psikresha is dover she'ein mischaven. The contra to groma is maisa. Maisa in groma is one sugya. Dover ha-mischaven, dover she'ein ha-mischaven, psikresha, psikresha, delo nichalei is the different sugya, and the two have nothing to do one with the other. The contra to groma is maisa. And groma is always found in a negative concept, not in a negative context, and not in a positive one. So there is no such thing that you do something and you bring forth an effect and it is less than groma. Nothing is less than groma. But this confusion is brought about by two se'ifim in Shulchan Aruch, which caused somewhat of a confusion. And many great Talmidei Chachamim had this mistake, which I wish to clarify in the coming few minutes. So the Gemara says, no, once again, your questions are a reflection of the confusion in this sugya. Misasik is one of the concepts in the sugya of mischaven and einoy mischaven. Groma has nothing to do with dovashem mischaven. Groma has to do with asiya. Asiya is when you do a maisa, which has a direct effect, a direct outcome. Groma is when you do something and you affect the outcome in an indirect fashion. You know, shooting an arrow, throwing a spear, firing a gun, and killing another person would be rendered ritzicha. That's murder, and that you bear liability. If another person shot an arrow and you take away the shield from the person that wishes to shield himself from that arrow, you're not considered a murderer. You bear no liability. That is grama. I just brought about his destruction in an indirect fashion. Merely by taking away a shield, that doesn't kill people. But somebody else shot an arrow, and if I wouldn't take away his shield, he would not be hurt. That would be considered a groma, and therefore you'd be no liability. Well, the Rishonim do say above a Basachov base that groma ben nezikin is not chayev, but it's an issur. But the reason it's an issur is because in no way, directly or indirectly, are you entitled to cause suffering, pain, damage to another person? Do we even have to go out of your way to save that other person from damage incurred by others? And that is the mitzvah of Shavas Aveda. So that should be no wonder why Groma Benesikin or Groma Benesikha is an Isser. You bear no liability, no legal liability. There are no ancient for Groma Benesikin, but it's an Isser. Because we are obliged to try to care for one other and definitely not directly or indirectly cause them pain, suffering, death, or damage. So that should be no wonder why it would be considered an issue of the Raisa as Mavur and Yad Raman, Bavabasa, Dafchov, Bezom, and Beis. But Grama, once again, said, there's nothing that's less than Grama, because Grama is nothing. The feed DNA Torah. So what are those two seifim that caused confusion to many Talmidei Chachamim? And some that are not Talmidei Chachamim, but still they're confused. In Shela Medalat Siv Chov Beis, there are more paskins, that Gram Kibui is Mutar only B'mokam Hesed. And that is the shit of the Mordechai in Shabbat Kuf Chov. Most other Rishonim maintain Kapashtas Loshon HaGemora. The Gemara says Gram Kibui Mutar. And in the Gemara we find no stipulation that it's only permissible B'mokam Hesed. But that is the Psak of the Ramo. What is interesting that the Mechaber, the Beis Yosef, in Beis Yosef, has the same opinion. And he brings the Mordechai, he supports the Mordechai, but in Shulchan Aruch, we have no indication that it's only Mutar B'mokam Hesed. The Mechaber writes, Gram Kibui is Mutar. So that is a separate discussion. Maybe we'll take some time at another opportunity to deal with a very basic question, which in Psak is very relevant. Many times in Dalat Zchok HaShulchan Aruch, there seems to be a contradiction or at least an inconsistency between the Shulchan Aruch and the Beis Yosef. So what is the relationship between these two magnificent forms when the Shulchan Aruch does not reflect what we learn in the Beis Yosef? And this is one of those cases in Shin Lamed Aleph, because in the Beis Yosef, it seems to be very clear that his opinion is in accordance to the Mordechai, that Gram Kibui is not permissible only B'mukam Hesed. But in Shulchan Aruch, there is no remnant to that. However, the Ramo does specify that Gram Kibui is Mutar only B'mukam Hesed, Shelo B'mukam Hesed, Shelo B'mukam Tzar. Gram Kibui would be in a Sidur Rabbanan. It would be a rabbinical transgression in Isur Derabbanan. And now we have two seifim that seem to contradict this ruling. One is in Siman Reish Ayin Zayin Siv Beis. It is there that we learn, based on a Tosis in Shabbos Kuf Chof Amid Beis, that you are entitled to close a window or a door, even though Keneged Achalayin or Keneged Pesach is a Madura. There's a fire. What would be the Yisr? Shulchan Aruch says, it's not considered kibui. So the Mishnah Berurah explained. As long as the wind is blowing, the wind is melabeh, the fire. Stokes the fire. Yeah, the wind makes the fire bigger. And if you close the window or the door, the fire seems to subside a bit. But that would not be considered kibui. That is what we learned at Shulchan Aruch. And the Ramo has no comment. So obviously, you are entitled to close the window, close the door, even though, in a way, you seem to be affecting the fire, and the fire becomes quieter and calmer, and it subsides, and nevertheless, that would not be considered kibui, because it's not a direct kibui. So it is from here that we seem to understand that gram kibui is permissible, even shalobo mokam hesed. So that is why some scholars learn from this din, so obviously this is less than grama, and therefore it's permissible. The other source brings us to Hilchas Yom Tov, not to Hilchas Shabbos, in a Tov Kuf Yud Dalet Siv Gimel. And it is there that we learn that you could put a ner, a candle, against the window, and open up the window, open up the door, even though it seems to be clear that at some stage the wind will blow out that candle. Not immediately, but it's a place where, you know, every now and then there's a gust of wind. Nevertheless, you are permitted to open up that window, because that is the Gram Kibui, and that is in the Ramon, some Tov Kuf Yud Aleph Siv Gimel. The Mogen Avraham rejects that halacha, and he says this is a mistake, because the Ramon contradicts his own opinion in Shin Lamed Aleph. Shin Lamed Aleph Hilchos Shabbos, the Ramon says, Gram Kibui is not permissible only for Mogen Hesed. Here we're not dealing with the Hesed. So why would the Ramos say you could open that window, even though we assume that in some time a gust of wind will blow out that candle? And therefore the Ramos is cholek, the Mogen Avraham is cholek on the Ramos. And the Mishnah Berurah there on the spot, Nelchas Yom Tov Kuf Yud Aleph, brings some achronim that say, obviously, there's a difference between Nelchas Shabbos and Nelchas Yom Tov. And because the Mordechai is only a shitty yechidoi, a minority opinion, that we're not choshish to the opinion of the Mordechai, only in Hilchos Shabbos, because Chil Shabbos is Kodesh and Mises Basin, a far greater and harsher transgression than a Malach and Yom Tov, which is only a Lav. And therefore, the Namo is Machmen and Shabbos, but he's not Machmen of this Yom Tov. The Mordechai deals with the Ikes Sugya in Shabbos Kufov. There's a raging fire in your home, and in some way you want to deal with that fire, and therefore the person takes many vessels, fills them up with water, and puts them in a perimeter around the fire. So ultimately, when the fire will get bigger and hotter, the temperature will go up, and those vessels will disintegrate, and obviously the water will come spilling out and put out the fire. That is the classic example of Yom Kippur, and that is what the Mordechai deals with. So these two sources, which seem to reflect more leniency regarding Yom Kippur, because in these two sources there is no stipulation that it needs to be B'mokam Hefzed to be permissible, brought some Talmidei Chachamim to try to define a new concept, a groma that is not really a groma that is less than groma, but I think this is a basic misunderstanding. And let me say, as a general rule, B'darkei Apsak, B'darkei HaRavona, B'darkei HaTalmud, usually when we're dealing with the Sura D'Rabbanan, and we need to be mechalek between one source and another source, when we're dealing with the Oraisis, it is usually based on Ramdasha definitions and criteria and conceptual ideas. When we're dealing with D'Rabbanan, usually what defines and what the distinction between one halacha and the other would be more the way people relate to things, because when we're dealing with the Rabbonans, we're dealing with Zeres, and we're dealing with Archokas, and therefore the Chilek Bein Issel HaHetel is usually not based on Lamdashik criteria and conceptual definitions, but rather on the way people relate to things. That is a general approach, and that is definitely our Sugya. And because Gram Kubi Kibui Minatoira is Mutar, and even according to the Mordechai, it definitely can never be more than an Issur Rabbanan. If it would be an Issur D'Oraisa, there is no Heter B'Mukam Hefzed. No way could there be a Heter B'Mukam Hefzed if we're dealing with a Chashash D'Oraisa. So we're definitely dealing with an Issur Rabbanan. And therefore, Chachamim Asur Groma only on two conditions. Groma is also when there is intention. Like the basic sugya, the only reason the person puts 20 vessels of water around the fire is obviously he wants that fire extinguished. He wants the fire out. So Chachamim didn't ask a gram kibui only when it is intentional, when the person has intent to cause a malocha. And number two, only when there is a linkage in the way people see and relate, when the beholder, the bystander, the mashkif min atzad, would understand the linkage and the kesha and the zika bein amaisa letetzor samalocha, only then is gram kibui prohibited. Only then would there be an issur in gram kibui. And therefore, in these two seifim, when a person closes the door keneged amadura, or he opens the door or a window keneged haner, there is no intent. And there is also no zika, no kesha, no linkage. There are 1,000 reasons for a person to close the door to his home. And the last of those 1,000 reasons, 1,001, would be, you know, to have the fire subside. He's not even putting it out, it's just becoming smaller. There are 1,000 reasons for a person to open a window in his home. One of them might be to put out the ner, to put out the candle. So, from the perspective of the beholder, of the person looking, the mashkif min atzad, there is no kesher between opening and closing the window and the malacha, malacha sakibui. And on the other hand, there is no direct intention of the person opening or closing that window. And therefore, in those cases, Chachamim did not prohibit gram kibui, and therefore there is no need for mokoyim hefzed. So to me, that would definitely be the basic approach to understand those two halachas, and therefore we have no source and no basis to argue that sometimes there is a groma which is less than groma, and there was a groma which would be permitted, even though it is intentional. So when you have this kosher switch or any other groma device, there is clear intention, no other reason that a person would push the switch. So there is intention, and there is a kesher. There is this linkage between everybody understands what switches are made for, to put out the light and put off the light, and therefore it definitely would fit into the criteria of an issur d'rabbanan of Gram Kibbutz. However, there is controversy regarding the shit of the Bishayitzev, as I mentioned before. So there are more asas Gram Kibbutz, only B'mokim Hefsid. Regarding the shit of the Bishayitzev, it's not clear. Even the Ramo is Mata Gram Kibbutz B'mokim Hefsid or B'mokim Tzar, because Tzar and Hefsid have the same basic significance in Halacha. So there still would be maybe room for leniency, but Mukam Hefsid. But Mukam Hefsid is not saving the electricity. No, that would not be considered Hefsid. That is minimal. But I really think it's not only a Cheshash Darabonon, which would be permissible, but Mukam Hefsid, we are dealing with a very clear Cheshash Diraisa, which brings us to another sukkah. A stated between two sugyas, the one in Shabbos Kuf Chof, in which Chazal say Gram Kibui is mutar, permissible, and another sugya, Bava Kama Samach Amadala, in which we learn a different rule. So Bava Kama Samach Amadala, Chazal asks a very basic question in the general sugya of Grama. I mentioned at the outset of this year, we find the concept in Grama primarily in two different sugyas in Shabbos. Grama Benezikin Potur and Gram Kibui Potur Bishav. Regarding Nezikin, Libo Velibis Ruach Potur. If a person stokes a fire and it's a windy weather and the wind is, you know, helping him stoke the fire, the wind is not always do I find the right halachic definitions in English, so if you would help me out, it would be extremely appreciated. Libo v'libis ruach. A person stokes a fire. But if it would be indoors, he wouldn't be very successful because it's outdoors and, you know, there's a breeze outside and that is why the fire takes hold. On one hand, he's taking advantage of a natural force, of the wind, but he bears no responsibility. It still is considered a grama ben ezikin and his potter. Hazoyre v'haruach nesayato chayev. And that is one of the Lamedes Malachos in Shabbos. I think Zayre in English is winnowing. He is winnowing, taking advantage of the wind. After Ketzira, and the grain is, you know, dispersed on the field, and after Ketzira, we have the concept of Disha, in which animals trample on the cutted wheat, dislodging the seeds from their sheets, husks, and then the coming stage, you throw it all up to the wind. The seeds are heavier, so they fall down by gravitation. And the psilis is gone with wind. So that is one of the lamates malachas, maleches hazoira, winnowing. So the Gemara asks, why in Hilchos Shabbos, taking advantage of a natural force of the wind, does bear responsibility, and the person is considered the oisah malach and his chayev, and why banezikin libe v'libe tzuruach? Why banezikin is fourth on the Shabbos is chayev? Four different terms in the Gemara. Ravashi is the last one, and he says Shani Shabbos. Shabbos is different because Malachas Machshavas Asur Toiro. Rashi writes, Kivan Shena says Machshavtoi is Chayev. Rabbi said, the Gemara doesn't say also. The Gemara says Chayev. Chayev Chatos Koros Vamisus Beitin. And this is the Uraisa. So what does Rashi explain? Basically, he's a Groma, and that's why Benezikin is Poto. Groma Benezikin Poto. Shabbos is different. Malachas Machshavas Asur Toiro. Kivan Shena says Machshavtoi is Chayev. Well, by Gram Kibui, it's also Nasas Machshavtoi. That is why he placed all those big vessels of water around the fire. So there, it's also Nasas Machshavtoi. So Ma Bein Zeleze. Interesting that none of the Rishonim asked this basic question. And one of the things I always teach my Talmidim, if we have a kasha, and no Rishonim asks the kasha, obviously, the answer is very simple. If it would be a kasha, then Tosfos and the Rashba and the Ramban and the Ritva and the Ran would deal with it. They explained every line, every concept, every sugi, every kasha, every teretz. Where were they? So obviously in their minds, they didn't really see room for discussion. But the Achrayim deal extensively with this question, with what seems to be a stira, a contradiction between two sugi. And there are four different approaches. And let's give a brief summary. Zera Emes, Chelek Alef Simen Mem Daled, is one of the greatest halachic authorities, Gedolei Sfarad. The Zera Emes differentiates between a situation in which the outcome is immediate. It's instantaneous. And that is the case with Azodah L'Ruach. You throw up to the wind, and the wind immediately, you know, separates the two different sections, the Oichel from the Psoilis. So when the outcome is instantaneous, spontaneous, immediate, that is defined as a malacha, and therefore Zohar B'Ruach Chayev. But the Gram Kibui, by its very nature, it'll take time till the fire will spread, the heat will go up, the vessels ultimately can't stand the heat, and they will disintegrate, and then the water will extinguish the fire. That is a process. That will take time, and therefore, that is not considered Malach Mosheves, and that would be defined as Gram Kibui. That is one approach. Approach number two is Abchai Moisa. And he differentiates in a different way between the two sugyas. When a person causes a malacha, in an indirect way, but it still is an acceptable way, a way that people do, it's a normal, acceptable way of reaching this outcome, even though by its basic definition it would be defined as a grama, but in that case we say, malachas machshavas asasasas yoraisa. That is how people winnie their produce. You do the same in middle of the week. That is how this malacha is performed. And therefore, even though by basic halachic criteria it would be defined as a grama, malach moshev has a toilet. But when you have a fire in your home, the craziest idea is, you know, schlepping boxes and bottles and filling them up with water, and having half a house burned down and hoping those vessels will break up and putting out the fire, that is not a normal way to achieve, you know, your goal, to achieve this effect. And therefore, that would be considered a grama and its mutar. That is the approach of Reb Chaim Oizer. Shilta Gevurah. Many have a mistake, and they think that the Shilta Gevurah Malarif was a Rishon. He wasn't a Rishon, but he's just in good company, because he found a very convenient spot right at the left of the rib. But he's in good company. But he wasn't one of the Rishonim. But he was the earliest of all the commentators I am quoting in this sugi. He lives 500 years ago. He was the Ben Dori of the Beis Yosef. And he writes a tremendous chiddush in Shabbos Kufchof, Perek Tet Zayin, in the Rif, in the second Shabbos. And he argues that Gram Kribui is not permissible if his intention was to put out the fire. And in the Sugya Shabbos Kufchof, his intention is not to put out the fire, but to just contain the fire. It should not be able to spread beyond the perimeter of those vessels that are full of water. So his immediate intention is not to extinguish the fire, but to save the rest of the house and to prevent the spread of the fire beyond those vessels. And therefore, that would be permissible. But if his intention would be to put out the fire, Malach Mosheves Sassatela would be prohibited. That is the opinion of Shilta Gevurah. Opinion number four is what I wrote in Minchas Sosha, the volume Simen Yud in Zion, based on the Ritva. That is my interpretation of the Ritva. And this brings us once again to the halachas of Grama ben Ezekin. So probably many of you are familiar with what seems to be a contradiction in Dine Nezikin. Grama ben Ezekin Potter, Dine de Garmi Chayiv. And all the Rishonim and the Shach in a great Arichas and Shimpechas, the question is, but deal with the question, what is the differentiation between Garmi, which is Chayiv, and Grama, which is Potter? One of the approaches in the Rishonim is, When it's Bori Ezeika, Garmi Chayev. When it's not Bori Ezeika, it's Grome and he's Poto. If the outcome is predestined, it is definitive, beyond doubt, that would be defined as Garmi and he would be Chayev. He would bear responsibility. But when you let an animal out in the street without Shemira, well, it is not a vada that the animal will hurt someone. It's a danger. You're running a risk, but it's not behechreach. And therefore, that would be considered groma benezikin potter and not dinat deganavi, which is chayiv. And what I wanted to argue in interpretation of a ritva on Shabbat of Mem Zayin, the same distinction we would say by Shabbos as well. So when you winnow, taking advantage of the win, the outcome is definitive. It's predestined. It would always happen because we're dealing with two natural forces combining to bring forth an outcome, gravitation, which will pull the heavier objects down, and the wind, which will disperse the lighter part. But by Gram Kenyu, there are many reasons that maybe at the end of the day you would not be performing kibbutz. Maybe the fire would subside before reaching those vessels for one of many reasons. Maybe the vessels just won't break up and the water would not spill out. So it is not a vadai that you're performing a melacha, and therefore that would be considered groma and it would be potter. Those are the four different approaches reconciling what seems to be a contradiction between two sugyas. And I say, according to all four approaches, using technology, gromit technology would be a chashashti or ice of malachas machshavas asrefayr. So I am aware that all the gromit devices take advantage of this zera emes. And you push the button, or you turn on the switch, or you turn the knob, and usually it'll take a second or two till the machines start buzzing, till the lights go on. I think that has nothing to do with this Zera Emes. The basic approach of all these Achrayim are trying to explain when would the Malacha be defined as Malachas Machsheves and when would it be defined as some kind of a Dovor Mikri. So the Zera Emes argues placing vessels around the perimeter of a fire takes time. It's not superficially, you know, using technology to put some time between pushing the button and closing the electrical circuit. It's a process. It's several processes. The fire has to spread. The temperature has to go up. The vessels have to disintegrate, and then the water would spill out. Therefore, that would be considered a groma. But just technically, using technology to separate, you know, by seconds, or I don't even care how much time it would be. That doesn't fit in with this awareness. And in my opinion, that would be considered malachas machsheves, and the fact that it'll take a few seconds is totally irrelevant. Approach number two, achiezer. Achiezer differentiates between a malacha that is done in a proper fashion and one that is done in a strange and improper fashion. So the promoters of this gromit technology argue, in the middle of the week you wouldn't use this switch, you would use another switch. Once again, in my opinion, that's not relevant. This is definitely a malachas machsheves. Millions of dollars are invested in electrical devices. So the fact that in the middle of the week you would prefer to use another switch because you want an immediate outcome, and in our modern world, sometimes a second is too much for people to wait. 2 or 3 seconds seems like eternity. But still, to me it would be so clear. This is malachas machsheves. This is technology. This is something which is advanced technology. This is something which is sophisticated. That definitely would be more similar to Zohar Baruch Messiah, sorry, and not to the guy putting vessels around the perimeter of a fire and hoping at some stage down the line, they will break up. According to the Shilta Gebaida, intention in itself turns the grama into a deraisa. and the heter of Gram Kibui is only because he does not have intention just to prevent and contain the fire and not to put it out, and therefore there is no room at all to be lenient in any kind of Gram Alok, according to the Sunta Gaboidim. And according to my opinion, once again, based on the Ritva, if the outcome is definitive and predestined, that is Malachas Makhsheves, it would be in a city of Isa. So this new koshis, which is based on some mathematical algorithm, which I'm not a mathematician, I don't know much about, but they argue that 1 in 100,000, you know, the lights won't go on or won't go off. And that is mathematically built into the system to escape from the approach. If the outcome is definitive, then it would be considered a malacha. That is, you know, a statistical fact. That has nothing to do with the metzias. If they will send a switch and 1 out of 10 the lights won't go on, wouldn't have much of a market. When you buy something, you want to put on the light, you want to know that light is going to go on. So if 10% or even 5% it won't work, no, nobody will buy it. So statistically, the argument is it doesn't need to happen. It doesn't necessarily have to happen. You know, 1 out of 1 million or 100,000 or 10,000, it won't happen. That has no halachic significance, in my opinion. So I really think that all the Gromer devices definitely are more than a sveikah d'oraisa. On the other hand, as the Poysik in the Tzvim Shar Tzedek, and dealing with so many different questions from such a broad spectrum of organizations, I do encourage Gromer devices, different devices in hospitals, in the use of the IDF, the army, and in military service or in police activity. Why? Because these organizations, by far and large, deal with pikuach nefesh or sofek pikuach nefesh. Most of their activity is related to atzilus nefoshes. But because these organizations and their operations are so diverse and immense, and so many different activities involved, it is virtually impossible to break everything down and to determine exactly what would be defined as sefik pikuach nefesh and what not. On one hand, everybody understands that the army, the police, hospitals need to function on a reasonable with a reasonably fluidity and a normal function. It is impossible before pressing every switch and sending out every patrol car or every ambush or marav, we should have a rav and he should decide, well, what would be exactly the definition and the degree of suffix and statistics and pikuach nefesh. It is impossible, and therefore we need to find a way to enable in our metzias in Eretz Yisrael, these bodies to function in a normal way. Because down the line, it is clear that if these bodies and organizations won't form in a normal fashion, people will pay with their lives, and that is quite clear. And therefore, for lack of any other possibility, I definitely recommend Gromer devices. So you will ask, but if it's also Minatayra, what's the point in Gromer devices? Because of two opinions, important opinions. In the Sugya Bava Kama Dav Samach, the entire controversy arises because of Pirush Rashi. When Rav Ashi says, Malachas Machshavas Asra Toiro, Rashi says, Kivan Shenasas Machshavtoi, but the Rosh has a totally different interpretation. And according to the Rosh, the Kavona of Rav Rashi is not to teach us a fundamental in the Sugya of Groma. No. Every Groma is Mutar and Shabbos. There is no such a thing that Groma is also the Shabbos. Loisasa kol malocha ksev, and the Gemara says, Asiya osra toiro u Groma sharia. And Groma is always Groma. Anything that's indirect is Groma. Rav Rashi merely is how to explain that Zayra is different than the other Lamed Ches Malachas, and Zayra is an exception. Because Behochi Chai V'Rachmona, there's no other way to go about it. There's no other way to winnow wheat, grain, or whatever it's called. There's no other way. And therefore, we must assume Behochi Chai V'Rachmona. And that is what Ravashi means when he says Malachas Machsheves also a Torah. Malachas Machsheves is Malachas HaMishkan. That means the Lamatas Malachas of Mishkan. One of those Lamatas Malachas of the Mishkan was Zayra. And there's no other way to do Zayra. And therefore, Zayra is different. Zayra is an exception. So according to Ravashi, this sugya is no source to assume a general rule in Dinei Grama and Shas. And when Groma is Groma, the other Lamed Ches Malachas, that a person could perform directly, Groma would always be permissible. So what I argue is, when there's a Machlokes Rashi in the Rosh, it's a Sveika Diurai, so we have to be Machmia. But when there is no other way, when you're dealing with a Sufik of a Sufik Pekuach Nefesh, I definitely recommend Groma gadgets, machines, units, devices, switches, naturally, whether they're kosher or non-kosher. The other reason is, according to Rashi Shitta, I said there are four different approaches, but there is a fifth approach, which would be the approach of the Mincha Sosho. And I would say, contrary to the four above stated approaches, which argue, yes, sometimes a grama would be an issur d'oraisa if it's malachas machsheves, I would explain the difference between the two halachas and bring Rashi somewhat closer to the Rosh. Rashi argues harnessing natural energy would not be considered grama. That is malachas machsheves. And it is different from other grubs. Because since Adam Harishon, man looked around and he wondered where would he take energy to achieve his goals. And man has always taken advantage of natural forces which contain such awesome power and energy. Tachanot ruach, windmills. For hundreds of years back, maybe thousands of years, man has harnessed the wind. Man has harnessed running rivers and built mills on rivers, taking advantage of the immense force of running water. Power plants are built, taking advantage of waterfalls or artificial waterfalls, building dams to create, to produce electrical power. So when you harness a natural force, that is malachas machsheves, and that would not be defined as grama. According to this approach, would be suggestion number five, once again, when we do have a grama, and we're not taking advantage of an existing natural force, but actually taking advantage of technology to create a grama situation, that would be permissible. So why do I say we should steer clear of kosher switches because it's a chashash d'oraisa? Because if you have the mincha sosha against the zeremes and the chiesar and the shilta geboirim, a sensible person would say, why rely on the mincha sosha? And when you have a machlokes between Rashi and the Rosh, a poitzik definitely would say, the sveika d'oraisa, you have to be machmir. And therefore, if it's not a situation which has an agia to atoros nefoshes, no room for leniency. It's mamash shechashash diuraisa. However, as I try to explain, when we're dealing with military service, with police activity, with hospitals, which basically all deal with atoros nefoshes, with situations of suffix pikuach nefesh, I definitely recommend and encourage and approve of taking advantage of various different grama devices. But in those situations, the kosher switch has no priority over other different types of drama devices which have been on the market for 20 or 30 years. Shabbos clocks are definitely permissible because you're doing nothing on Shabbos. Whatever you do is predetermined from Erev Shabbos. You're probably familiar that a Moshe came out very harshly against using Shabbos clocks. But even though the Moshe was, you know, the greatest poisik of our generation, I'm a tremendous admirer of the Moshe, but obviously, you know, Klal Yisrael didn't accept that too, but, and I think Klal Yisrael was right, because, you know, this brings us to the second part of today's shiur, your comment, what about Shabbos clocks? So after I made my opinion very clear that by pure halachic criteria, we're dealing with a sveika d'oraisa, not only with a sveika d'rabbanan. And therefore, I see no room at all for leniency using koshes, which, if we're not dealing with a sufik pikuach nefesh, I want to make some additional comments, which might be defined as hashkafa, but the minshak between hashkafa and halacha is not kodesh beisabad. Sometimes it is kechut ha'sara. Some time ago, I wrote a letter to a very. I think that's a very good point, and that is from the educational aspect. But even before and above and beyond the educational aspect. So the people will say, okay, we no longer have children in our house. The kids aren't around. They're out of the house. So would that be different? And therefore I say, we're dealing with fundamentals far more basic than the question of how would children relate seeing their parents putting on the switch. Some time ago, I wrote a letter to a very close friend in America, one of the Choshevei Rabbonim and Rosh Hashivas in America, about what has become common in some circles of Orthodox Jewry in America, having girls and women and ladies putting on tefillin. Well, Michal Bafkus put on tefillin, the wife of David HaMelech. Some great tzaddikis throughout the generations put on tzitzis or tefillin. Is it an issa? No, it's not an issa. Women could perform mitzvah sasesha as mangroma, and many women do perform many mitzvah sasesha as mangroma, including lulav, sukkah, tkiya shofar, women flatten shul tkiya shofar. But generally speaking, Yiddishkeit is based on a two-pronged or a two-legged system. Loi al ha-halocha levado yichya ha'am. Yiddishkeit is based on halacha on one hand, and on the mesoidas and minag on the other hand. And going back 250 years ago, when the Haskalah began and different reformist movements developed, the battle was not on halacha. You know, the first two issues were davening in different languages. And the Maskilim argued there are so many amongst us that don't really understand Lashon Kodesh, and therefore the davening lacks passion. They don't even understand what they're saying. Why shouldn't we start davening in German or in Hungarian or in different languages? Well, it's a Mishnah and a Gemara and a Rambam and a Shulchan Aruch says you could daven in any language. But the Gedolim of the ages understood that this is not only a halachic question, but a breach of the Mesoidas of Beis Yisrael and of Minik of Husseinu for hundreds of years. The other controversy was about this internal structure of the shul. And they argued when the chazan stands close to the mizrach, he doesn't engage the congregation, the community. Some people at the back of the shul don't even hear him. They see the back of his head. It would be far more engaging and inspiring if you would stand on the beam in the middle of shul, everybody could see, everybody could hear. Why not? So there is no halacha and the Gemara where exactly the Batzvila the Chazan has to stand. However, Gedolim understood that it is not a technicality we're dealing with, but rather what is the underlying idea. So the Mesoides of Beis Yisrael and Minhag Avishenu are of supreme importance. These are not lighty matters to deal with. So Shabbos, as we know it from our homes, our fathers' homes, of the Zaydis and the Bavis, had a certain tzivyon and a certain image and a certain feeling to it. And if we will take advantage of technology, today it'll be the lighting, tomorrow it'll be the cars, the day after tomorrow it'll be the radios, and where is it going to end? V'shavtem v're'isem she'ein bein tzadek l'rosha v'ein bein oived elokim l'asha lo yavodah. They're all doing the same. These are putting on switch number one, and these are using switch number two. These are driving kosher cars, and these will be driving non-kosher cars. These will be using, you know, the kosher video system and Shabbos, and those will be using the non-kosher video system and Shabbos. And what will our Shabbos look like? So there's a very famous Ramban, Parshas Emorah, Parshas Yisrael. The Ramban explains, Shabbos, besides the lav, lo yisasa kol malocha, we have a mitzvah seseh of Shabbos. And the Ramban explains, those are not two sides of the same coin. Lo yisasa kol malocha refers to lametes malochas. Ha'amal v'ha'torach ne'esru ba'asei. Shabbos demands a day of rest. So if you work hard, if you toil, if you will leave Shabbos to move from one house to the other, or to switch around the furniture from one room to the other, you're not doing a malacha, as long as you're not taking out of Rishus Yochad into Rishus Arabim. HaTorach v'ha'omol are also, that is the Mitzvah Sasef Shabbos. There's some sorry for twice in his great sporting. Tshuvas Slam Sofer Chelik Vav Kuf Tzadikei, and at greater length than elaboration, Slam Sofer Masechet Be'ed of Lamed Vav goes beyond the Ramban. And the Slam Sofer says, turning Shabbos into Choyl is an Isser D'Uraisa Mitzvah Sateh Shabbos. Shabbos has to be different. Shabbos has to be unique. And therefore the Slam Sofer argues, if a person opens his shop on Shabbos, he opens his store. The only people selling and buying and packaging and taking around the customers are non-Jews. He's just sitting there to supervise and to see that everybody is doing his job. That is an Issa D'Uraisa of Shabbos. Shabbos, you should be spending your time at home and not in the store. So the Chassam Sofer goes beyond the Ramban. The Ramban speaks about toil, about hard work on Shabbos. The Chassam Sofer says it's not about work. It's about the image of your Shabbos. Turning Shabbos into Choyl would be an Issa D'Uraisa of Shabbos. And I think the same would apply in our day and age. Using technology, just turning Shabbos into Choyl. Because if we will go down this path, the sky is the limit to the technology. No, the sky isn't the limit. There is no limit. Technology takes us everywhere, and we can do everything. So in a short while, we'll have Shabbos cars, and Shabbos videos, and Shabbos telephones, and Shabbos switches, and Shabbos everything. And there will be no distinction between Shabbos and the weekdays. According to the Chassam Sofer, that would be an Issa D'Uraisa. Another argument is the Rambam, Perek Chof Aleph of Hilchos Shabbos, Halacha Yud Gimel. The Rambam explains, why did Chachumim prohibit Tilpul Muktze? There is no Malacha in Tilpul Muktze. The Rambam gives three different reasonings, three different approaches. One of the three is, most people aren't farmers, so in the middle of the week they don't plow and harvest and they're not engaged with HaChodesh V'Hazoreya V'Hakoitza. Most people aren't builders, and they're not busy with construction. Chazal looked for something everyone has in common. Kedei she'yehei shavisa nikeret lakol. Chazal wanted Shabbos to be obvious. Shabbos should be evident. Everyone should see that this person observes Shabbos. So what do we all have in common? The fact that you're not going to be Koitzer and Zoreya. Most people in the middle of the week aren't engaged in Ketzira and Zoreya. The fact that there's going to be a prohibition of Boina and Soisa. Most people in the middle of the week aren't engaged with Boina and Soisa. Everyone should have a common Shabbos. That is why they instituted the prohibition of Tumtum Muktzah. Because everyone in the middle of the week carries a pen, carries a pencil, you know, is Metalkul Muktzah. So the reasoning, the rationale of Chazal by the din of Muktzah is to have a Shvisa Nikeres Lakol. In our modern day and age, what do people do all week, which would be considered a Chilul Shabbos? People no longer write. They use their iPads and their iPods and their iPhones and their I. It's all about I. So people no longer write. So what would be the Shvisa Nikeres? What would be the distinction between Shabbos Lakol? What would unite all Shabbos observers? What do they have in common? The fact that they stay away from technology, from electricity, from electronics, that is the only thing Shomer Shabbos really have in common. So then, there no longer is a Shvisa Nikeres. The only thing that will be unique for Shabbos is the Shlainel. I think we'll have to give out a fact that everyone needs to wear a Shlainel, because otherwise, Shabbos doesn't bring us all together in any way. There's no Shvisa Nikeres. What will all those Jews that still don't wear a shlainel do on Shabbos? So, therefore, I think, above and beyond the basic halacha criteria, which in itself is definitely more than enough to totally reject that kosher switch, I think, in the broader perspective, we should understand that we are to cherish the Shabbos as we observe it in our homes. As our children observe it in our home, the Shabbos that we have become familiar with and loved in our parents' homes, that is the Shabbos we saw, that is the Shabbos we cherish, that is the Shabbos we love, and that is the Shabbos that we wish to give on to the coming generations. B'shamru b'nei esor as a Shabbos, la'asos as a Shabbos l'doroisom b'risoylam. L'choyla, I would formulate this posuk differently. The Shomru is a Shabbos l'doroisom, la'asos is a Shabbos l'doroisom. Why does the pasuk say the Shomru b'nei Yisrael is a Shabbos, la'asos is a Shabbos l'doroisom b'risoylam? My feeling is this: the Shomru is a lo ta'ase, la'asos is the mitzvah aser. And in Shabbos, as in many other areas of Torah, we have an aser and a lo ta'ase. The Ramban in Parshas Yisrael suggests a beautiful idea. And he says, all the lo ta'ase that we have in the Torah are based on midas hayirah. When you're in awe, when you're afraid, you do not want to aggravate. You do not want to violate the rules if you're afraid of punishment. So the lo ta'ase are all based on yirah. The mitzvahs of say are based on av. If you love, you want to give. You want to make the other party happy. You want to bestow upon him whatever you can, in an active way, not in a passive way. So the Ramban explains, mitzvahs of say are based on midas av. And the two mainstays, the two pillars of avodas hakel, av v'yiro. Dechilu urechimu, to use the definitions of the Zohar, are the mitzvahs of say on one hand based on Ahava and the Lotasa, on the other hand based on Yiro. Meshamru bnei Yisrael es haShabbos. Lasos es haShabbos ledoroitzer. If we really hope to be able to transmit the love of Shabbos to the coming generations, cannot be based on Yiro alone. It must be based on Ahava. Every day in the morning we say Berachas HaTorah. First bracha is defined as Berachas HaMitzvah, Shekidushonu b'mitzvos v'tzivonu. The last bracha is Berachas HaShevach, HaShavoch HaBonu. But there's a middle bracha in between, which is Berachas HaTfilah. And this bracha, we not only praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have bakoshes. And we have two different bakoshes. V'harevnu Hashem Elokeinu es divrei Torah b'fino. Give us the beauty and let us take part in the unbelievable pleasure of sweetness of Torah. And then we have another bakosha. We and our children and our children's children shall all be lamdei Torah l'shma. It is very uncommon that we have two different bakoshas in the same bracha. So I explained many times, these are not two separate and different and distinct bakoshas, two sides of the same coin. It is only if we will appreciate and love the Torah, and our children will see us loving the Torah, that we could truly expect them to follow in our footsteps. They will wish to partake of that unbelievable delight and pleasure of Ahavas Torah. And this saying refers to Shabbos. It is not enough to convey the fear of Chilul Shabbos. We need to convey the beauty and the love of Shabbos. And therefore the Pasuk says, V'shamru b'nei Yisrael es haShabbos, la'atos es haShabbos, only then could it be l'doroisam b'risoilam b'ni u'bein b'nei Yisrael. Yilamor HaShem Yisrael shnei Shabbosos, mi'avim negolan. Shnei Shabbosos, echad keneged Shoma v'echad keneged Zocha. One is the Lois Esa, the other the Esa. One is the Chilu, and the other is the Rechim. Yerotzu Sheikh Okenu Amon. So next week there will be no Shir, because next week is Yom Kabbalah Satoy Lechag HaShavuos. And I wish you all from the depth of my heart, a Gehoi Meni Yom Tov, we should all be Zoichet, to be Mekabal, Oil Malchus Shumayim, Oil Torah, Oil Mitzvah, Ba'ahava, and we should be Zoichet, to Mashiach Tzadkeinu, Demhero v'yomeinu
I'm going to go to the hospital.
Hashem.